2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that our earthly house, this tent, that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Of course, you know that this tent is talking about our body. A tent is a temporary dwelling. That means you're not going to live there forever. You're moving out to a permanent dwelling. And this tent is not where our focus should be. How many of you have a tent at home? We have one. We don't have a lot of campers here, do we? Well, we have a tent, and once in a while we go up and then we camp for a few days. But we always come back because we only stay in that tent temporarily. And because it's only a temporary dwelling, we don't pay a lot of attention to it. I don't come home and put nice paint on it and put all our paintings in it and ornaments and stuff. We don't care about that, right? It's just a temporary thing. Now, Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, that this body we live in is just a temporary dwelling. Don't become too focused on this temporary dwelling. Don't you think it's a little silly that people only live to look good? All the attention, all the money, it goes into this tent, this temporary dwelling. And they always want to look good. They're missing the point because it's not about the tent, it's about the one that lives inside the tent. That's where the important person is. And that's your spirit being. You're a spirit being, first of all. And it's all about your spirit man because that's the eternal person that never dies. And now we live in this temporary dwelling, this tent, but we need to understand that it's very temporary. Do you know that if you live to be 100 years old, and even if you live to be 150 years old, that doesn't compare with eternity? It's just a wink of an eye. It's gone. And so we should be careful not to pay too much attention to the temporary thing at the expense of the eternal thing. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation or dwelling which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. See, God's talking about a life that we have in our spirit that is much larger than life in this tent. And we should be well aware of that. You don't want to have a surprise when your tent is rolled up and put away and find out, I have nowhere to go. You know, once when we were young years ago, we sold our house that we had. And for some reason, I don't know why we did it that way, we had nowhere to go. It was not a nice feeling. We had to scramble around to find a place, just a temporary place to live with our family. But why would you do that when it comes to eternal things? Well, there's a day when your tent will be folded up and put away, and you need to go somewhere then. Your spirit man will need a dwelling. He'll need somewhere to go. Where will you be going? Now, some people say, well, God's a merciful God, and He is. And He's a God of grace, and He is. That's why He gives us opportunities like this one today, so that we can make good choices when it comes to eternity and temporary things. And this is the grace of God. Do you know that the fact that we are sitting here today is just the grace of God? You're not here by accident. You're here by the grace of God. He's giving you an opportunity to think about the future and say, I don't want to be without a dwelling. All right. verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Talking about the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. The margin says a down payment. God put his Spirit on the inside of our spirit. Says there's more to come. This is not the end of it. This is not all of it. There's more to come. There's a down payment. We have a connection with eternity through the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we see. This is one of the most important lines in the entire Bible. We walk by faith and not by sight. By sight, when you walk by sight, the body is everything. Temporary things are everything. Things that you can see and touch mean everything to you. But when you walk by faith, you begin to see further ahead. You can look way into the future by the guidance that we have in the Bible. That there's more to come. And we begin to fix our eyes on things that are ahead. And you begin to make good investments in the future so that your entire life will be blessed. I don't want to just live a good life on earth and then find out I missed heaven. And you know, if you don't go to heaven, where do you go? You go to hell. No, we don't talk about hell a lot these days anymore. But that doesn't mean hell has gone away. Yeah, it's still there. And there's nothing in between. The Bible doesn't say anything about this twilight zone where in the middle you can be okay with both sides. But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It's either this or that. And so we need to make wise choices, and that's the grace of God. Verse 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Therefore, for that reason, for what reason? For the reason that we want to make good choices for eternity. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Now, you know what? We can talk all morning about that. Being well-pleasing to Him. Do you know that most people on earth live only to please themselves? That's all they live for. It's just to please themselves. Once a week, you get a whole wad of flyers at home delivered to your door that will tell you how to please yourself. You can buy this and you can buy that and look at this and look at that. And it's all about pleasing you. It's all about pleasing you. It's all about living in the tent. That's all it's about. It's all about living in the tent. It's all about receiving accolades from those around us and being pleasing unto them. That's the biggest mistake we can ever make, is to put people ahead of God. That we would aim to please people more than we please God. That's one of the biggest mistakes we can ever make. We're here to please God. That's a smart thing to do. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. So that should be our aim as Christians, as believers, as children of God, that we will live in a way that will be well-pleasing to Him. I don't think we think of that very often, but that would be the smart thing to do. Live in a way that will be well-pleasing to Him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body while you were living in the tent, whether good or bad. So every one of us will one day stand before Him and His judgment seat. And you know what judgment is? You look at something and then you pass judgment on it. Yes, it's good or it's not good. Yeah, it's pleasing or it's not pleasing. You pass judgment on it. And that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to pass judgment. Well, He's not in judgment today. You know, it hurts when you hear people make statements like, well, God judged this nation by this earthquake or this storm or this flood. God judged. God's not in judgment today. He's the God of grace today and the God of mercy. He's not in judgment. God doesn't judge people now. His offer of grace is there. He's not in judgment. But a day will come when there will be judgment. Thank God that day hasn't come yet. Boy, we have an opportunity to clean the slate today and be pleasing unto God, so when judgment day comes, we look forward to that. You don't want to cringe when you stand there in line waiting for your judgment to be passed. You want to walk up there and say, this is what I've been living for all my life. I've been living for this day. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. That's the judgment he's talking about. The terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. So there's a day when the God of grace will be a God of terror. Oh, that'll be a bad day. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand on the wrong side of God on that day. No. No, that's why God offers us His grace today. Verse 12, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Now, the appearance thing is the most well-used thing that we can use to fool people or to please people. It's the outward appearance, you know. Just saying the right thing at the right time to the right people. And you pretend to be good, like the Pharisees. They were always walking with their religious garb on, and they were so pious and so holy. And so, but in the meantime, they were lovers of money and did cruel things to people and judged people. It was all about the outward appearance. But now he says, it's not about the outward appearance, it's about the heart. God knows the heart. He knows what's in our heart. It's the heart. It's the inner man. It's the spirit man. It's the one that lives in the tent, but it's not the tent. So you can pitch a nice tent and everybody will think, you're the coolest person. As look at that tent. He has the best car and the best this. Just look, I just want to be close to that person. But it's not about the tent. It's about the one that lives in the tent. It's about the heart. He's talking about. It's all about the heart. It's about the man on the inside. Now, and God help us today. You know, we talk about these things, but this is important for us to know the difference and to make sure that our spirit man is the one that pleases God and that we're here to please God and not just people. Now, we don't want to offend anybody and we don't go around offending people, but we're here, first of all, to please God because He's the judge. He's the one that will pass the judgment. Verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. Some people don't understand that very well, but there comes a time when you when you find yourself in the presence of God, that the joy that bubbles up inside of you can get a little bit of out of hand. And Paul says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. We rejoice in Him. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. How is it that joy as a Christian always has to be so limited and held down and fenced in? When you're out there in the world at the hockey or whatever, that you have no problem at all to express joy. Where does that come from? Isn't joy just joy? And when you begin to ponder on God's goodness and His grace for you and His love for you, and you begin to sense His presence, because the Bible says if we draw close to God, He draws close to us. And suddenly His presence begins to affect you. And joy begins to rise up inside of you. But now I cannot express that joy because I'm in a church. What's that? Doesn't the Bible, didn't we just read that we aim to be well-pleasing to Him? Who cares what the person next to you thinks about how you express your joy? Let's get away from that one. Verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That we should live no longer for ourselves, but we live for the one who died for us. Thank God that He paid the penalty for all the wrong that I did and all the wrong that you did. All you need to do is to receive that freedom that He paid your penalty. He paid the fine. He took the punishment for our sins. And so, isn't that something to rejoice in?
Yes.
When you go to the court and you have a fine to pay, and when you get to the cashier and say, I want to pay my fine, and they say, somebody else already paid for you. Won't you be happy about that?
Yeah.
That's just money. But when it comes to eternal punishment, that is what Jesus did. He took away that punishment. He paid that punishment. He paid the fine.
Yes.
So that you can walk free.
Hallelujah.
Walk free out of that. And all the guilt and all the oppression and all the heaviness that came with all that wrong living is gone.
Hallelujah.
And suddenly you realize, I'm a free person.
Amen.
I'm a free person. You know, I spoke to people in the past years ago that were in trouble with the law. And it was a heavy burden. You know, it's not nice to know I'll be before the judge very soon, and I did some things wrong, and there'll be witnesses to talk about that. And then he promises that side. You know, when I get out of this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. When they begin to look forward to a time of freedom when they will not be bogged down with that heaviness of their burden. And true enough, when the day came, God's grace was there. They walked out free, and they forgot about the promise. Well, I tell you what, to live without that burden is a big deal. To wake up in the morning and realize, I am free. I'm standing under an open heaven. God cares about me. David writes in Psalm, I believe Psalm 51, he says, what is man that God is mindful of? Psalm 8. What is man that God is mindful of him. Why would God even bother to think about you? The Apostle Paul answers that. He says, when we were still sinners running away from him, he loved us. That's why. He's mindful of us. And now I have a connection with him. With eternal God. I have a connection with him. I have an open door. I have an invitation in the book of Hebrews. It says, let us go into the throne of grace boldly. Just go in boldly. Because we know if we need help, that's where you go. And I have an open door. I have an open door. I can just go there. And find help in a time of need. Verse 16. This is the interesting thing. How are we going to get this through to the church? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. That means I look past your outward appearance, because the real you is on the inside. I don't pay attention to the tent. I pay attention to the one who lives in the tent. That's the real person. That's the real person. It's not the outward appearance. You cannot fool me because I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the one on the inside of you. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's why would you look at the outside? Because your body wasn't born again, your spirit was born again. Why would you bother with the outside? Why would you bother? You look at the man on the inside. That's the real person. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I think this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible. You all find Christians. They've been Christians for years and years and years, and they're still trying to solve their past. And things that they did in the past, and things that people did to them in their past. And they do homework, and they do research, and some of them even go to the time before they were born. And the Bible says, all things have passed away. What will you bother with things that passed away? And they can spend years and years and years and years and years and years, their whole life spent on trying to unravel the past at the expense of the future. That's just a common sense thing. If you're born in and you became a new creation, that doesn't mean God just cleaned you up. No, it means that old person died. And a new one was born inside. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, says, you were born from above. Not by the will of a man, which is the flesh, the body. We're not talking about the body. We're talking about the man on the inside. He's a new creation. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. God help us to draw a line under the past and walk away from that. People struggle with stuff that they've been dabbling in the past. And they can't walk away from that. While God opened this wonderful door and told you, you're a new person. That person that did all of that, he's dead. You're a new creation. It's not a patch-up job. It's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Everything is new about you. You cannot be the old person and the new person together. There's only place for one person in that tent. Forget the past. Forget the past. Forget the past, this inner healing. What do you want to heal? What do you want to heal? It's new. All the damage that was done to somebody that died now. There's nothing to heal. God made all things new. God gave us such a wonderful, glorious, wonderful blessing that some people think, well, that's too big. I'll rather stay over here because I'm just a simple person. I preached in South Africa recently, and there happened to be a cousin of mine, and he came to me afterwards, and he grew up, his father is a minister too. He grew up in a church. He says, you know what, I'm just an old sinner. And I think, you know what, I really don't even have the time to go into all of that now, but you are deceived. You spent all these years and years in the church and listened to I don't know what. But the one verse in the Bible will answer that question. You're not an old sinner. If you received Christ into your life, then you're a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Then old things have passed away. Walk away from that mess and walk towards the future. You cannot change the past, but you can change the future. And should change the future, because there are some glorious things ahead if we remain in Christ. But boy, if you keep on walking back into the past and to the mess that you've done and the sin and the darkness and all of that, then you mess up your own life. Why in the world do you want to do that when the glorious new is right there for you to step into? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is what we ought to be busy with the new things. Let's spend our time on the new things. Let's find out what the new things are. We know the old things were darkness. We know the old things were sinful. We know the old things brought us problems and trouble. We know the old things brought burdens and bondage. Let's walk away from that. And let's be busy with the new. There's a glorious treasure that God has for us. And we haven't scratched the surface yet of what we have in him. Let's get busy with the new. Let's be busy with the new. Verse 18, now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now this morning there is a ministry of reconciliation going on right here. This is ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled with God. Well, I don't think God wants to talk to me. I don't think he likes me because I've been a bad person. Well, you're going to be a new person right now. Just take advantage of what Jesus did for you. He already paid the price. He already did that. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive what he's done for you. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive him. That's all. Say, thank you, Lord. I want that new life. I don't want to go back to what I've been. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to be a new creation. Religious people are the most uncool people on the planet.
Yes, amen.
But the new creation, a day will come, let me tell you, when the light bulb will go on, and people will realize, hey, I don't have to deal with this anymore. I don't have to put up with that anymore. I am a new creation. Those things passed away. I will not be deceived by that any longer. I'm done with that. I'm a new creation. Boy, you find out what the Bible says about the new creation, you'll never sleep again. You'll just devour this book. You go into Ephesians chapter 2 and begin to discover who you are as a new creation. It will stir you up. And you'll never long for the old stuff that you've been busy with. New creation life. Verse 19, talking about the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He took the initiative, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're listening to an ambassador this morning. And the ambassador says, be reconciled with God. If you haven't done so yet, be reconciled with God. You don't have to do anything. He already took the initiative to reach out to you. He already stretched out his hand to receive you. All you need to do is put your hand in his and say, thank you, sir, I received that. That's all you have to do. The ambassador is a diplomat, and he brings the two together. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him, Jesus, for God made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine that? That we became the righteousness of God. You can't wrap your mind around that, but I tell you what, in your spirit, man, there's something that stirs. I've become the righteousness of God in him. Now that I'm in him, he looks at me and he says, where Jesus stood, now you're standing there under an open heaven. You have communication with God. You have an open door to the Father. You can hear him speak in your heart. There's communication there. There's fellowship there. There's something growing. There's a relationship there. Relationship with God? Yes. Well, that's what the Bible says. Now, the religion might tell you, well, you're an unworthy person, but you've been made worthy in Christ. Yes, we are unworthy. But now, it's not me anymore. I died. And inside of me is a new creation. Remember, we read earlier on, we received the Spirit's guarantee, a down payment. There's a connection there now. I'm connected with him through the Spirit. I'm connected with him. All that changes everything about life. That changes everything. As long as we keep that connection intact, you're a dangerous person in this world. Let's quickly go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Chapter 3. Let's read from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Have you ever thought about getting in on some of that? The unsearchable riches of Christ. There's something available to you. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent now that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, how can you make known the manifold wisdom of God if you don't have it? But you do, because you're connected with Him. Now you have a job to do. And now you're preaching to the ones that kept you in bondage. The principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the boldness and access with confidence through Him, through faith in Him. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Are you part of that family? That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's the one that lives in the tent. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, how can you know something that passes knowledge? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that in your Bible too? Will God record a prayer in the Bible that cannot be answered? I don't think so. He didn't put it there to frustrate us. He put it there to raise our faith. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You have no idea how big the ideals are that God has for you. It's not about religion. It's not about religion. It's, you know, when you look into this treasure that we have, pleasing people is a foolish thing. Why would you busy with trying to please people around you and win their confidence and their trust and their confirmation and affirmation if you can be busy with this treasure that you have as a new creation in Christ? Why would you bother? Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. How many of you know that that's high? That's high. Now Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Oh, the new creation is a glorious being. It's not about the tent. It's about the person that lives in the tent. God has wonderful things reserved for those who love Him. For those who have walked away from the past and entered into newness of life through Christ and His price that He paid for you. Jesus didn't die to give you religion. He died to give you new life. That is different from the old life. If it's not going to be different from the old life, then Jesus died in vain. But he didn't die in vain, which means the door is wide open for every one of us to walk into newness of life, in greatness of life, connected with the eternal God himself. It's not about playing church. It's about newness of life in Christ. And that's available to every one of us. If we're willing to put the tent aside and say, this is just temporary, you know, don't expect too much. This is just a temporary dwelling. Let's get busy with the one that lives inside the tent. The inner man of the spirit which is red. Let's be busy with that person. The heart, the Bible calls it sometimes. Let's be busy with our heart. God connects with your heart, not with your flesh. It's about the inner man. It's tragic. It's tragic when people go around, Christians, and all they want to do is to receive accolades from other Christians. And, you know, just get into this religious thing. While God has opened the door to so much glory, it's time to forget the tent and be busy with the man who lives in the tent. Begin to pay your attention. Feed him. Feed him. Put your attention on the man on the inside, not the tent, not the body, not the flesh, not the things of the flesh, not tangible things, but spiritual things that will enrich your life and lift you up and bring you in a place to put your feet on solid rock that cannot be shaken, because you're grafted into him in newness of life. Amen. Let's close your eyes. I want to pray for us today. I want every eye to be closed. Let's get your eyes off the visible world and tangible things, off the opinion of the person next to you. Because that's not what it's all about. We're not here to please the person next to us. This morning, we need to make sure we're here to please God. That we make it our aim to please him. And I want to ask you this question. If you have not done so yet, if you have not entered into the newness of life, then there's an opportunity today. There's an opportunity right here today. You don't have to do much. All you need to do is say, I receive what Jesus did for me. I'm not going to try to pay the fine. He paid the fine. I'm just going to receive that freedom. If you have not done so yet, then I want to pray with you first of all. And I just ask you to quickly raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. It's not a person. It's not your business who's raising their hand and who's not. Hands go up. Walk away from the past. We're not here to put anybody on the spot, but this is a day of opportunity. This is a day of reconciliation. This is not about religion. It's not about joining a church at all. It's not about church at all. It's about a connection with the living Christ. One more time. You want me to pray for you this morning? Just quickly raise your hand. Your hands go up. Holy Spirit's working. Holy Spirit's working. There's a new life waiting. There's a new life waiting. You begin to research and find out who this new creation is. You spend your time, just spend the time in the Word of God, working through Ephesians and Corinthians and all the wonderful letters of glorious revelation in the New Testament. It'll change your life. It'll change your life forever. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you. for a day of reconciliation. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for drawing away the curtain so that we can see inside the tent and see ourselves as we stand before you today. Thank you for the grace that we live in and that you extend to us today. I thank you for those hands that went up. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that as they raise their hands, a declaration that they receive you today. And so now, your word says the new creation beings. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. And I pray that inside of them, there will be a hunger for more of you. There'll be a thirst for the Word of God as never before. To begin to dig into that treasure and find wonderful hidden treasures of truth that will enrich their lives and make all things new. Thank you for a day of grace. Thank you for a day of opportunity. We bless you. We honor you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.